KXCV-KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. I'm John Coffey, alongside is Matt Trenton. Helping out behind the scenes, our Bearcat Radio Network engineer and producer, Jacob Blair, along with our sideline reporter, Logan Weber, all helping out behind the scenes as we've got another good show coming up tonight. Matt Trenton will be talking some baseball and softball and track and field, as well as about the academic aspects of being a student athlete on tonight's show.
Yeah, a lot to cover here as spring sports, a full go here as the opening weekend for softball last week and baseball in their second full weekend going. And then, as you mentioned, track and field, actually the Bearcat Open last weekend, actually kind of a senior day for the track and field team, indoor track and field. So they came out and obviously performed well, and now going on the road down to Pittsburgh State for this upcoming weekend. And then we do talk to so many coaches, the student athletes, but this time we can actually get into the student side of it and kind of find out where they go from here. And we're talking with Dr. Stephen Ludwig, the director of the Booth School of Business, and so many athletes do go through that School of Business here at Northwest Missouri State and then stick around to get their MBA. So it'll be interesting to see that progression of how that translates into the classroom and then back onto the field, the court, the track as well. So that should be a fun show.
And as far as Bearcat basketball goes, they're already on the road. They've got big games coming up tomorrow. They're on the road both tomorrow and Saturday on that swing down to Joplin in Pittsburgh as they'll face Missouri Southern tomorrow evening, then Pittsburgh State on Saturday afternoon. And kind of odd the way the schedule has worked out this year. We're almost toward the end of the regular season. They haven't, Northwest hasn't seen either of those teams yet, but they'll see them this week and then next week as those two teams will return back up to Bearcat Arena next week for matchups. So you don't see them all year, but then you get them back-to-back coming up.
Yeah, kind of funky how the schedule works out that way in both of those matchups against Missouri Southern especially, but also against Pittsburgh State. But those are some really huge matchups as the MIAA standings on both sides still continue to shake out for the men, of course, trying to solidify themselves as the one seed with the MIAA tournament right around the corner. And there are only six regular season games left, John, so big games on the men's side as Missouri Southern's only a game back of Northwest Missouri State. And then for the women, Northwest currently sitting in that ninth spot, that they're two games up on Missouri Southern. And the Bearcat women's magic number to actually get into the MIAA tournament is sitting at just two. So a combination of either two wins for the Bearcats, a couple losses for Newman and Northeastern State, or one apiece that will get them into the MIAA tournament for the first time here since 2017. So a lot really on the line for these upcoming games, especially Thursday in Joplin.
And I imagine when the season started, most people wouldn't think that between the Northwest and Missouri Southern on the men's side that they would have one common opponent that's defeated them. That would be Central Missouri. Of course, Missouri Southern's also lost to Rogers State, but Central Missouri kind of playing havoc with the top of the MIAA standings despite struggling this year.
You know, if only they had a few other wins elsewhere on their schedule. They've got some really quality wins for their NCAA tournament resume. It's just everything else has kind of fallen off, but that just goes to show just how tough the MIAA is. And you look at what the Mules have been these past couple of years and kind of taking a step back this season, but they showed a play against Northwest and Missouri Southern. So that's one thing that Coach McComb and Coach Boshi have in common and kind of commiserate on tomorrow night. But that'll be a really fun matchup with only two conference losses for Missouri Southern coming in and Northwest Missouri State with just that one to UCM. So it's a tough game. And the last 4 years, Northwest has six losses, three of them coming to the Lions. So there's one team that's had their number. It's Missouri Southern, so does that trend continue, or the Bearcats kind of buck that trend, get a big win in Joplin, and keep on moving? It'll be really interesting to watch.
Yeah, it definitely will be, and we'll have the broadcast right here on KXCV, KRNW. The women's game will tip off at 5:30, and the men at 7:30. Of course, you can hear both beginning at 5 o'clock with our pregame for the women. A reminder, the support for the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the Student Body. Screen printing and embroidery located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing, and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Open for lunch and dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. We'll be back and have more for you from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville right after this timeout on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for more than 150 years. More information on locations is online at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Bomley Auto Sales.
Northwest Missouri State alumnus Joe Bomley has provided late-model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at the 5 Mile Corner south of Maryville.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers pre-owned late-model autos and will also purchase vehicles from individuals. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Bullseye Trading in Maryville, located at 1115 East 1st Street, open 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Bullseye Trading offers guns, ammo, and payday and pawn loans. For more info, 660-241-5013 or on Facebook.
Today's game is supported by State Farm Insurance agents Carrie Myers and Kevin Neal in Maryville and Nick Codeman in St. Joe, providing life, auto, and homeowners insurance and financial services. More at 562-3882, 582-3512, or insurewithnick.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Back inside Carson Sports Grill in Northwest Missouri State Bearcat Coaches Show, talking Northwest Missouri State softball now with the head softball coach Ryan Anderson and coach getting things rolling just last week and up in Mankato, Minnesota. The Bearcats finishing up 2-3 there, picking up those first couple W's before dropping three after that. But we were talking before we went on, just a different atmosphere, I guess, to get your season started up there, playing up. You go north, first of all, in February to start your season, but also playing in the dome, just kind of not what you're used to, I guess, instead of getting outside and playing a normal softball game.
You know, it was one of those where we've gone up north a few times to play in bubbles like this, but I've always thought if we can get there, you can play. You don't have to worry about weather. You don't have any of those things. Like, our hotel was 2 blocks from the indoor facility, so it was a big bubble, and it was 50 to 55 degrees in there because it was -5 outside. But you know, it was dry. We got to play 5 full games in there and not worry about any weather conditions.
The warm-ups, is there enough room on the sides or just enough time a lot of between games to be able to get yourself warm and ready to go, or what's that situation like?
It was probably a 100-yard field. It was pretty big. We had one softball field up there, and so there was plenty of space to get warm and do those kind of things. Large regulation field. You know, the roof came into play a few times, you know, and they played it as a dead ball, which kind of changed the game a little bit, but both sides have to play with it. So, but overall, I mean, it was a good experience because, you know, we have other teams in the league and conference that go out and try to play and get weathered out.
Well, and even down south, that can be a factor. And we even see, as you're heading down to Bentonville, Arkansas, for games coming up this week, and having to shift things around just a bit with the cold weather and the ice and the snow coming up that we're going to see up here around Maryville. But Northwest Missouri State softball back in action Saturday and Sunday. Arkansas Tech and Southeastern Oklahoma State coming up on Saturday. But with your first 19 games on the road, which that's just kind of how it plays into it, the way Maryville works, but also once you get to that 20th game, it's at home, and it's a conference game. Is it kind of to the point of you don't put a ton of stock into the first 19? It's get better and get better and get better each time you step out.
The good thing of these first 19 being on the road, a majority of them, it's a neutral site. So the team we're playing, it's also they're also on the road. So, you know, we played Mankato twice at their place, but, you know, we played Concordia, we played Lewis. You know, this weekend we play 4 schools that are on the road as well. So, you know, it's everybody's dealing with it right now. You know, it's the teams that actually get to host a tournament. They're the ones that get to live in the home field advantage and all those kind of things. So once you get a play at home, it's great. You know, don't have to be on the road, don't have to travel, don't have to stay in a hotel, and just get a show up to the game and play.
Well, what is your initial takeaway from these first 5 ball games going up to Mankato and a different atmosphere, but coming back home 2-3?
You know, we played well. We didn't hit. Now, going in, I thought offensively we were behind. We actually had to take about 8 to 9 days off of live hitting because we had 3 pitchers that were hurt, so we needed to rest them going into our opening weekend. And so offensively we didn't get to see the live reps that we needed to during that time. And so you know, and you could tell, you know, we had some good at bats, but we just couldn't get on the ball. We scraped together a couple wins there and had some hits here and there that scored some runs. Pitchers threw well. Defense played well. But then the next day, those teams that were also playing for the first time started to get hot and started to hit the ball. So, and we didn't stay with them. So, you know, hopefully coming out that second weekend, we see that, you know, we start to get a little more confidence. We feel better to play, and we have a better approach swinging the bat.
Well, and you see your 2-3 hitters there, Sydney Brashear and Caitlin Weiss step up, and both batting well over 300 after that first weekend. And I assume kind of finding confidence and kind of finding as other hitters will kind of plug in around those two at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was the first really the whole weekend. It was we couldn't put back-to-back hits together. And, you know, we had a single here, and then it was wait till the next inning. And so if we can start stringing some together, we can hit. And so, you know, Sydney hit well. Caitlin hit well. Aaron, the last two games, started to hit well. So, you know, it's going to happen. You know, with the more reps we get and seeing more live pitching, we'll break out of it.
As you get into a close game here early in this season, you kind of get down the stretch and you need to push a run across, how does the strategy shift a little bit? Is it kind of more of like, all right, we're going to shift to small ball? I know you can get a hit, an extra base hit and come through, but a little bit cold, so you kind of shift that strategy right now?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, you have we have a bunch of big kids that aren't known for their speed, so
you it's know, all about placement then, right?
yeah, so we may not be talking small ball with them, but you know, it's a lot of time depends who you have at first or who you have at third and what kind of situation you have. But, you know, we've talked about those situations of, you know, if we have a chance to score, we got to find a way to do it.
When you look at Caitlin after the home run last weekend, she's now one away from tying the Northwest Missouri State career mark in home runs, just trailing Ashley Pride at this point. And it looks inevitable she's going to shatter that record by the time this season's all said and done. But how major is that? How much does that say about what she's bringing to the program year in and year out?
You know, she's been consistent for 3 years, and so we hope we get that consistency for one more year here. And you know, and it's helped. You know, it's helped other players feed off of that. And when she hits, other players can hit. And you know, we hope it's a chain reaction of that sort.
Yeah, she is coming up. I also on total bases, batting average, and RBIs, I think, or another one around there. But is that something at this point that matters to her? Is there any idea of that's kind of how close she is to some of these career marks?
I don't think so. You know, five games in, six games in, I don't think she really cares. I think, you know, she'll take a look after she's done and, you know, be happy with it. But, you know, I think it's one of those that as it comes, it can come and go and she can move on and keep swinging.
We got to see Rachel Smith and Breck Dickey step out, and a senior there and a freshman as your starting pitchers over the weekend. You mentioned you had a couple injuries. Are those kind of your two horses going through the rest of the season, or a couple more you're going to plug and play?
We hope so. I mean, you know, last year Rachel was hurt, Caitlin was hurt. We had another pitcher hurt as well, and it hurt us. I mean, we hit the ball, and we struggled to get people out, and so, you know, Rachel's healthy now. She feels good. Breck's freshman coming in, and hopefully she can, you know, make the adjustments and realize that she's not facing a 16-year-old anymore. She's facing a 21, 22-year-old. So, but she has the stuff to do it. So, you know, we hope that those two can get a lot of outs for it this year.
How much is Rachel kind of mentoring her and bringing her along early in this part of the season?
You know, I think Breck's learning from her, just being around her. There are two different kinds of pitchers. You know, Rachel throws hard and she's a power pitcher. Breck's a finesse pitcher, you know, throws from the left side. So, you know, we've had to talk to Breck about, you know, trust your spin. You don't have to throw it past everybody. Let the hitters get themselves out. And so, you know, she's still in that learning curve of trying to figure out what to do and where to go. And so we have a couple good catchers that can work with them and talk to them. And, you know, in game time, you know, in those timeouts is, you know, be aware of what you're trying to do. It's like, we just need an out. We don't need you to throw 104 coming in here, but we just need you to throw strikes to get people out here. So hopefully they're good to have together.
Oh, Northwest Missouri State softball is back in Bentonville, Arkansas, coming up this weekend. Games on Saturday and Sunday. When you look at it going in, Arkansas Tech, Southeastern Oklahoma State Saturday, Southern Arkansas and Maryville University coming up on Sunday. What are keys going in? What are you hoping to see the progression this weekend?
Well, we're playing four teams from Arkansas and Oklahoma. I assume they haven't practiced inside yet. So, you know, that's always the big thing that we gripe about up here when we go down here is, like, we know Arkansas Tech, Southern Arkansas, if they're inside, it's because it's raining. And so, you know, that's always the big issue going out, you know, make the adjustment being outside, making those kind of things. So Arkansas Tech and Southern are always very good. Southern Arkansas, I think, was a top three team most of last year. Arkansas Tech was a top 15 team, and they have a lot of players back. They both swing the bat very well. Southeastern, we haven't played in many years. In Maryville, I think we played a couple years ago. But, you know, it's one of those that we're playing against ourselves now. You know, we still have to get, you know, that confidence up at the plate and make those adjustments and realize that we can hit the ball, and, you know, the pitchers we're facing aren't any better than our pitchers that we have. And so we want our hitters to see that and not face the name on the opposing jersey right now. So, you know, we got 50 more games left. So we have a lot of growth to make, and a lot of it's from the mental side.
After going through the offseason of the Hughes Fieldhouse, then your first tournaments in a dome up in Minnesota, is there a chance or the possibility, too, that you kind of get out there and you're first playing outside and getting outdoors in some nice weather, that maybe things kind of break out and you cut loose and that confidence comes along a little quicker then?
Oh, you hope so. I mean, it's the good thing is we're going down and we're going to Bentonville, Arkansas. That's headquarters of Walmart, so there's way too much money down there. So the high school, every field down there is turf. The city park fields are turf. So we're going outside, but we still got to play on turf that we've been practicing on. So that's a good adjustment for us, is that now we just have sunlight to deal with, and we get to play on the turf. So
just don't forget the shades, right?
Yeah, we're going to be dealing with sunburns now. So
we're talking with Northwest head softball coach Ryan Anderson. And Coach Anderson, just to wrap things up, and to put you on the spot, I assume you guys are taking off on Friday, right?
Yes.
And that's Valentine's Day. So you have to do something a little bit early for your wife for Valentine's Day. Do you got anything special planned?
Not yet. We just found out this afternoon we were leaving early, so we got to figure out something.
Got to be on that, you know.
Yeah.
Coach, we
yeah.
appreciate the time. Good luck this week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, appreciate it.
Ryan Anderson, Northwest Missouri State head softball coach here on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll take a time out. Be back with more from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Support for today's game comes from Heinlein Home Furnishings on South Main in Maryville. Locally owned and operated, Heinlein has been in business for more than 50 years, offering mattresses and furniture from Ashley, Lazy Boy, England, Serta, and more. More information at HeinleinHomeFurnishings.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from United Electric Cooperative, who is committed to serving Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa residents with reliable and affordable power. For all electrical services, UECI.COOP.
Support for KXCV KLRNW comes from Baumley Auto Sales. Northwest Missouri State alumnus Joe Baumley has provided late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BaumleyAuto.com or on the lot at the 5 Mile corner south of Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Turning our attention now to baseball. And Darren Lowe with us. Darren, when you look outside or walk outside right now, the first thing you think of, obviously, is baseball with the way things are looking today.
Yeah, that's right. It's, you know, we start so darn early. And, you know, when you're playing baseball in January and you have to get your games in, and you just have to, you know, kind of fight these conditions and kind of bide your time until we get the sun coming out here in Maryville. But obviously having Hughes Fieldhouse to be able to prepare in has certainly helped us. Hopefully we get through this batch of snow and cold, and next week we can start melting and hopefully get on our field, you know, obviously as soon as possible.
You know, when you look at the schedule, you've already got two weekends already underway, and we've got all those games in. So starting that early, obviously going down south to play those as well helps. But even then, sometimes weather plays a little bit of a factor, so you have to feel pretty fortunate you've already got two weekends already down for you.
Yeah, that opening weekend, we were 60s and 70s, and I think when we left Durant, Oklahoma, it was 78 degrees, and we pulled into Maryville at midnight, and it was 32 degrees with a 30-mile-an-hour wind, and all of our guys were still in shorts. So it was a little bit of a shock to the system once we got back. Last weekend down in Arkadelphia, had 60-degree weather. Looks like after this front moves through, down in Joplin, it'll start warming up too. So we've been really fortunate. You know, I think we've already played five games warmer than all of last year. So hopefully that's a trend, and hopefully we have an early spring.
And let's just talk about your season up to this point now. 5-2, off to a very good start, coming off a great weekend last weekend and a four-game winning streak right now going into this upcoming weekend. What's been some of the keys to the early success that you've had so far?
Well, I think offensively we've really shown up and been able to swing the bats really well, scoring. I think we're averaging about 10 runs a game, so you know that makes up for a lot of some of those mistakes we make on the mound, or maybe a mistake we make defensively. But and I think the biggest thing is it's coming from different guys. You know, it's not just relying on Connor Quick in the 3-hole or Matt Gassner in the 4-hole. It's Jordan Peck hits in our 7-hole. He's a sophomore kid that really is jumped in that lineup and taken advantage of his situation. Jacob Pinkerton going into the weekend, he's our leadoff guy. Struggled in weekend one and had a huge double for us and a comeback win for us at Wachita Baptist. So, you know, I think offensively, and I think probably if you go back and listen to some of our earlier radio cast of years in the past, you know, that offense just hasn't shown up yet, and we've been fortunate to start off swinging the bats well and swinging for power as well, and now the pitching will catch up with that. So that's probably the biggest takeaway, and now I think the biggest jump that we can make to be more successful is on that pitching staff as we get to know each other a little bit more.
It looks like Spencer Hansen's been off to a pretty good start, though. What, an ERA 2.77, I think, right now, and 14 strikeouts. You have to be encouraged with that.
Yeah, and Spencer's a guy that's new to us, and he had a good fall for us, but we still didn't really know, what he was all about. I've really been blessed in the last 5 years to have great starting pitching, and most of those guys, all three of those great starters were fastball, slider, changeup guys. So I always kind of knew that slider was the go-to pitch, especially against right-hand hitters. Well, Spencer's a guy that's a fastball, changeup guy. And we have a lot of those guys, actually, but Spencer has the ability to throw that changeup against left-handers and right-handed hitters, and once I figured that out, he probably, he had a great outing against Oklahoma Baptist, who was a regional team last year. I think as a group they hit 91 home runs last year, and he really just was able to throw that off-speed pitch for a strike, keep their hitters off balance. Like you say, struck out 11 in that ball game, and really gave us a chance to win all the way through, and ended up going 7 innings for us, and really helped us in probably a little thin bullpen as well.
Yeah, you talked about how the hitters are off to such a good start, and how much of a factor does the Hughes Fieldhouse play in that? You talked about having an opportunity to get some good workouts in at the Fieldhouse, but is that a huge factor, you think, right now in the way the offense is getting started?
Oh, yeah, I think no question. I when we used to hit in batting tunnels, you'd get your swings in and you'd feel good. And, you know, we kind of laugh because when we would go pitcher against hitter in the tunnel, every pitcher would think that's a fly ball and every hitter would think that's a home run. Now you have that instant feedback when we hit on the turf and you can see where that ball flies and you can really tell if it's a lazy fly ball or a line drive that you hit well. So it's that instant feedback where our guys can make those corrections and at least feel a little bit better about themselves going into the weekend, other than, you know, that guy goes, thinks his swing is great in a batting tunnel and goes out and he's only hitting 270-foot fly balls. Then it's a kind of a shock to the system. You got to get that confidence back. So no question that's helped us. And obviously, I think, we probably have more experience in our lineup as well returning. So that's also been a huge transition for us going into this season.
And I know getting outside is different in a lot of aspects of it, and probably defensively as well. But on a defensive standpoint, when you're able to get out on the turf there at the Fieldhouse too and actually take some grounders and things, how much of an advantage is that, even if you get outside into some inclement weather?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably been the most surprising thing. If Hughes Fieldhouse is the turf itself is a lot slower than what we play on for some reason. So we get some slow, lazy ground balls in there. Now you get, you get the action, you get to move around and do all those things. But probably the most surprising thing going into the first two weekends or coming out of the first two weekends is how well we played defense. Really been solid defensively. We still haven't seen fly balls in the sky yet. It seems like you always lose one or two in the sky in the first two weekends. We've been fortunate not to do that. We played up to the speed of the game. We also played on two dirt fields. I think five of our games were on dirt. So we still haven't been on dirt, but our guys work hard to give themselves the best hop possible. I think as a group, I think they really take pride in playing great defense.
Now this weekend, it's back south, but not quite as far south, down to Joplin for the MIAA GLVC crossover event. And kind of talk about this at the outset with you, but the weather forecast is a little bit rough for what you were hoping to get underway tomorrow down there. So everything's been pushed back a day in that event.
Yeah, we feel like, going down to Joplin this weekend, it's going to be like a trip to St. Joe after two 8-hour bus trips, Arkansas and Oklahoma. But it sounds like after this front goes through, it's going to be a cold snap. Thursday was supposed to be a high of about 14 degrees, so they pushed the whole thing back a day. We'll open up Friday now. We'll go down Friday and play the 4 o'clock game against Maryville. Should be in the 40s and on day one, and then continue to get warmer from there. So it looks like Monday when we play our last game should be about 65 degrees. So they have a turf field down there, beautiful facility. So we're excited to get down, see some other competition. If you're playing well or at least having success, you want to continue playing. And just fortunately, it looks like we're going to be able to get all four of those games in.
And you talk about different competition. Maryville University out of St. Louis, if I understand right, first meeting with Northwest and Maryville in baseball.
Yeah, don't know much about them. I know they got a new coach a couple of years back, a former junior college guy. Looks like they're playing a lot of young kids. You really look at all these early season games, you're not exactly sure what you're going to get just because due to graduation. Look at game two, St. Cloud State had a great year last year, but graduated a lot of guys. So there's going to be some new faces that, everybody's kind of trying to figure it out. Probably the first month of the season. Just not sure how to prepare for those teams because you don't know a lot about them. The best way that we've found to kind of deal with all those teams is, just focus on us. Focus on the things that we do well. Throw a lot of strikes, play great defense, get timely hitting. Then it really doesn't matter who we're playing. So it's they'll have all different uniforms every 4 days or all 4 days down there. But, as far as what we can control, we want to control what we do well.
Yeah, outside of St. Cloud and Maryville, then on Sunday you've got Missouri-St. Louis, which used to be a member of the MIAA, and then McKendry to round things out on Monday. And boy, going back through the years, there used to be some pretty good matchups with Upsell through the years in baseball.
Upsell's had a lot of good teams over the years, and you know, old Coach Brady there, he was there for years and years, and I think we played them last year down there as well, and you know, they're just, you know, all these teams are going to be you know, solid. Do the fundamentals, do the little things well. All four schools that we play are going to be well coached, and you know, again, it just goes back to, you know, we'll be ready to go and you know, get good pitching, play great defense, and timely hitting.
You know, it seems like the last several years that we're seeing these crossover events really pop up and get really popular. This one with the GLBC conference, and it seems like it's just a great way to get some competition in against some teams you don't normally face, and maybe down the line, if it comes regional time and things, where you get some out-of-region games or in-region games with some of these matchups, it really, I think, is beneficial for the teams.
Yeah, I really enjoy going down and seeing some different competition. You know, it's we do the three-game series within the conference. You know, obviously that's a good format for us, but it was just being able to see different teams. I think you take a look at that Arkadelphia trip we just got done with. We played three different teams and three completely different makeups of programs. You know, Henderson State, you know, they're a small ball team. They're going to bunt guys over. They're going to get great pitching. They're going to try to run the bases extremely well. Wachita was just a scrappy, you know, hit balls to all fields, do some of those little things as well. They played great defense against us. And then we came up with Oklahoma Baptist, who they were going to try to beat us with a three-run home run, and they were swinging for it every pitch, and fortunately they didn't get any. So that's a nice challenge for us to be able to prepare for those, but also to see kind of what we need to work on, you know, as far as holding runners, throwing off speed pitches for strikes, and some of those things. So it's fun, and you know, we're excited to head down to Joplin.
When you get a chance to play that many different teams before the conference season opens up, does that really help you prepare for the conference season maybe a little bit better than what you've had in the past when some of these crossover events weren't part of the schedule?
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, if you know, going into the season, it looks like, you know, obviously Henderson State was a base stealing team. So, you know, working on, and we see that a lot against Central Missouri. Central Missouri likes to run the bases and be aggressive there. So, you know, you have to tell your pitchers, we have to be aware of our, you know, changing our looks and our timings, and being able to be quick to the plate and have good pickoff moves and all that. You know, and then those teams are going to be small ball teams and bunt people over, then, you know, we got to be able to be good at that. So I think being able to face a variety of team styles that out of our opponents, I think, kind of covers it all in this first month of February. And really, hopefully it doesn't, you know, show our weaknesses, but, you know, kind of tells us what we need to get a little bit better on going into conference play.
All right, well, Darren, thanks a lot for being with us, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks, John.
And that is Darren Lowe, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat baseball team. They're in action this weekend as they compete down in Joplin in the MIAA-GLVC crossover. Their first game scheduled now on Friday afternoon as they'll take on Maryville University at 4 o'clock. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to track and field as Brandon Masters is with us. It's a busy time of year for his indoor track and field teams. We'll be back and talk with Brandon right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Bearcat Lumber on East 1st Street in Maryville, providing windows, roofing, siding, and doors for new home construction, as well as materials and plans for outbuildings, shops, and garages. More on Bearcat Lumber services at 660-562-0300.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park offers residents and visitors camping facilities for tents and RVs, as well as lakeside cabin rentals. More information on camping and lodging is at MazingoLake.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for KXCV KLRNW comes from Baumley Auto Sales. Northwest Missouri State alumnus Joe Baumley has provided late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BaumleyAuto.com or on the lot at the 5 Mile Corner south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey. praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries within the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Printery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. I'm joined now by Brandon Masters, the head coach of the Northwest Indoor Track and Field teams, and well, the whole track and field program as far as that goes. But right now it's the indoor season for you, as your seasons really never end, do they? You go right from one to the other to the other. So.
Yeah, it's constant all the way through the year.
And a big meet this past weekend, the Bearcat Open out at the Hughes Fieldhouse, and once again, it looked like you had some great performances out of your team.
Great performances, for sure. I love how our team's coming together. We're starting to see what I knew from the beginning of the year, who we are, and starting to see them really flourish in the system and right time. In a couple weeks, we'll be MIAA championships, so it's on the horizon.
Omar Austin's really making a name for himself. Second week, he's received the MIAA Track Athlete of the Week award.
Yeah, Omar's amazing. He's a true competitor, a true student of the game. He researches all his competition. He knows everything about who he's racing against. And you know, with him, he's got a lot of confidence, and you know, he knows who he is, and he knows how to race, and it's exciting to see him grow. Only a sophomore, but he doesn't carry himself that way.
And you've ended up with a couple provisional marks, but also you look at that 4x400-meter relay team, an automatic qualifying time for the indoor national meet, so you have to feel good about that.
Yeah, coaches like auto marks. We know that 4x4 squad's going to nationals, and you know, having the idea coming into that weekend was to run a fast 4x4, and with the men, we hoped a couple other teams would be able to keep up with us. That wasn't the case. Emporia didn't run their A squad, and a couple other teams didn't have 4x4 squads. So, you know, after the first leg, Tyrell kind of took off. Kalen put us in the lead, and then we didn't see anybody after that, and that's only leg two. So we're a really good team, but I think we can still run faster. You know, we broke the school record by over a second that we set last year that we broke. I think it was almost 4 seconds school record that last year. So this team's special. They're sitting number two in the country. Two St. Augustine teams have run, two different teams have run fast, faster than ours. So we're third ranked, but second team. And that was a special run, considering it was all by ourselves.
Yeah, I imagine, like you say, you like to be pushed just a little bit there, and when you get out to the lead, it's kind of hard to tell where people are behind you there. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think we won that by almost 8 seconds. That's a drubbing. That was not a good, fun race for the guys. If they had, you know, people beside them, how fast could we have ran? I think we still have another second and a half or so we can pull out of that time if we get in the right race with the right teams.
Now, on the women's side, too, it looked like some good marks and some program records falling on the women's side from this past weekend.
Yeah, it was an exciting weekend. You know, first off, you know, the women's heptathletes, pentathletes in indoor, they had five events on one day, that Friday, and now we have three girls in the top 15 in the country, and this week, Tuesday, we found out they have Northwest as the number one pentathlete squad, so we have four ladies, and the combined number for all four makes us the number one team in the country, which is fun to see. And you know, so that I think the ladies, they're same boat. The guys they're kind of feeling that confidence, and training is lightening up, so they can really start running fast.
And you look at the ratings that are coming out of the MIAA, the women second and the men first right now. National rankings, Northwest remains seventh on the men's side, and then on the women's side, third nationally. So you're getting some notoriety because of some of the things you've been able to do this year.
Yeah, you know, the provisional list is what we look at to kind of see how our team ranks against other teams around the country. And, you know, we have a very good squad on the men's side with 18 national marks. On the women's side, we only have 12 national marks, but the women have quite a few more in the top seven. For instance, I think it's seven marks in the top seven for the ladies, and only three in the top seven for the guys. And that's why you see the rankings as third in the country for the ladies and seventh for the guys. But we're deeper on the men's side, and so that's why you see a conference ranking a little higher, a regional ranking. We're the number one regional team in our region of 24 teams. We're number one right now because of that depth on the men's side, where the women are number four. It's a little bit different game when you talk about a conference championship or a national championship.
Well, back in action this weekend, a trip down to Pittsburgh, Kansas. An opportunity to go back down there. And what are you looking for at this time of the season as far as you're trying to get your athletes ready to go for the MIAA meet? And then, of course, hopefully I'm with a lot of those on to the national meet. What are some of the things you concentrate on in a meet like this coming up on Saturday?
Well, the biggest thing for this meet is to go do our individual events on the conference track. So conference championships will be hosted by Pitt this year. And going down there and just running on that track again, having good competition, great competition, really. That this is another monster meet, probably another 1,600 athletes at this meet. So most of our conference squad will be going down to run on that track for one reason. Feel out the track, feel comfortable, because in a couple weeks we come back for real in the MIAA championship. So a couple people have some work to do still. National marks, we hope to, it's a great place to jump, and I hope our jumpers can kind of do their thing so they can get on the national list and maybe have a chance to go to a national championship. And then and then 2 weeks later, we're back there again on a great venue to try to score some points. So who cares about how far you go or how fast you go when it comes to the conference? It's all about placing at that point.
And you talk about the Pittsburgh State's facility being a great venue. Obviously, Hughes Fieldhouse is a great venue as well. From a standpoint of trying to compete on the national level, how big of an advantage is it now that you have facilities like this in the MIAA where not only you bet the rest of the conference has an opportunity to perform well in a field houses like this?
Well, we do have an advantage in the MIAA having Pittsburgh and then, of course, our Hughes Fieldhouse. But then next year, Washburn with their 200 bank coming in. We have an advantage over others because we don't have to travel to those. I mean, this weekend we had Texas A&M, Kingsville, and Azusa, Pacific LA, and very South Texas come up to join us here in the Bearcat Open. Why do they do that? Because it's a great facility, and they don't have the opportunities that we do. We only have to travel a few hours south of here, and as soon as Washburn has theirs. So it does make it a lot easier for us to, on our budgets, of course, but also, kids not sitting in a bus for, 6, 7, 8 hours like some schools have to.
And in the past, it seemed like it was always a weekend trip to Nebraska for some one meet or the other in Lincoln or wherever. So now you get a chance to stay home or down to Pitt or some different places. I think it probably from that standpoint, too, you get to see some other places and not travel very far. It has to be a big advantage.
Yeah, within about 3 hours, we have amazing tracks, whether it's Lincoln and Nebraska or Pitt or our place in Washburn. So it's really nice indoors to be able to have those venues. The problem is with those venues comes humongous meets. And, Pittsburgh couple weekends ago was 1,700 athletes. We had our meet last weekend, 1,300 athletes, and then we're going back to Pitt this weekend. And some of our kids didn't get a go. They didn't get into the meet. Some of our developer kids will be sitting at home And that's unfortunate. Part of having such a nice track is everybody wants to go there. And so you do have very large meets come into play, and those are very difficult to host. Last weekend, I don't know how many hours the coaching staff put into setting up the meet, running the meet, and tearing down the meet. That 4 days was a very difficult 4 days for us. We're just now recovering.
Imagine from an aspect of going down to Pittsburgh this weekend, it's going to be kind of nice just to be able to concentrate on the performances off your own team without trying to run the meet on top of it.
Absolutely. I'm excited to just watch Pitt coaches scurry around and try to fix things. But that is a nice thing. It allows us to coach a lot. We still try to do as much coaching as we can when we host meets, but something breaks, they're looking at me, and so we got to fix it. The coaching staff did a great job of making this run, but it is nice to be able to just go down, focus on your kids, focus on trying to get them to run fast and jump far, throw far.
All right, well, sounds good, and it looks like off to a great start and some good things ahead for your track teams coming up.
Absolutely. I'm excited. The next 2 weeks, we go into MIAA. And that's what we've been training for since September is MIAA Indoor Championships, and then 2 weeks later, National Championships.
All right. Sounds good, Brandon. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
That's Brandon Masters, the indoor track and field head coach for Northwest Missouri State. We'll be back and have more for you from Carson Sports Grill right after this timeout on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Carpet Plus Bargain Barn on North Highway 71 in Maryville, providing carpet for Mohawk and Shaw, as well as hardwood flooring, tile, laminate, and vinyl. Carpet Plus provides estimates and arranges installation. More at carpetplus.com.
Today's game is being underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for KXCV, KLRNW comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Northwest Missouri State alumnus Joe Bomley has provided late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at the 5 Mile Corner south of Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from Compass Dental Group. Doctors Bruce Twaddle and Brian Viertaler are proud supporters of Bearcat Athletics and the quality culture that is Northwest Missouri State University. More information on the Compass Dental Group is online at CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from SureGrow Plant Food Company in Forest City. Locally owned and operated, SureGrow's provided the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies since 1951. More information on SureGrow products and services at 660-446-3376.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Back inside Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, doing the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat Coaches Show this evening, and now joined by Dr. Stephen Ludwig, the director of Booth School of Business at Northwest Missouri State. And Dr. Ludwig, appreciate you coming on with us and kind of taking a little bit different angle on things. Of course, so often we talk with the student athletes, we talk with the coaches, but there's a little bit more to coming to Northwest Missouri State than just getting out on the track or on the field or on the court. So we appreciate you coming on and talking with us this evening. For you coming in the School of Business, it feels like we have a lot of athletes that come through the School of Business, and I assume, and I'm not sure if you can shed some light on that, but the leadership roles of being an athlete and what you adopt throughout your career can translate pretty well to that business side of things, can't they?
Yeah, what we find is that the students that come to Northwest, especially in the area of business, end up with some great opportunities for future employment and career exploration. And so, when we get them in the classroom, we benefit from the work ethic, the things that they bring to the classroom. Our student athletes generally perform at a higher level than the normal student body in the School of Business, and so we benefit greatly from that, and they have the balance that employers are looking for later on. So what we find is that the employers recognize the value of a student athlete when they come to campus and they start recruiting, and they know they can balance a pretty difficult schedule. And so that really creates some unique opportunities for the students.
Well, and there have to be certain instincts to be competing at a high level and against a lot of good competition throughout the MIAA and around the country. And I would assume that as you get into the classroom and then even out into the working world, just being able to step in and think outside the box sometimes, or that critical thinking, which is
right.
something you really have to develop throughout that college career,
yeah.
student or athlete, really comes into play.
Yeah, they do a really good job of being able to make adjustments to things and to be able to think in a different way, and I think that does help them a lot because they aren't confined by the same things that, you know, most of us tend to think of.
So going into it, basically being a student athlete in whatever sport you're competing in is essentially a full-time job, and then there are full-time students on top of that. How does that workload get balanced, especially in season, whenever you think about, you know, baseball and softball, you're leaving midweek for a lot of these games?
Right. I think one of the things that, you know, when I think of it from, you know, kind of an academic standpoint in my syllabus, and you know, I tell them I expect 2 hours of work outside of class, so if they're taking a 12-hour semester, I'm already giving them an expectation that says I'm looking for 36 hours, really, of your time to be able to do well with just 12 hours. And some of them are carrying 15, some of them carry more. And then, you know, I know from interacting with some of our student athletes, by the time they do, you know, some workouts ahead of time, do practice, I'm imagining that they're probably spending anywhere from 30 to 40 hours a week with their sport. So, you know, they're balancing probably a 70, 80-hour work week as a college student. So I know that that is creates a great deal of pressure for them. And I think that, you know, managing their priorities becomes a really big key there. With regard to the travel, you know, it kind of depends on the sport. I think we're in the season where the majority of the athletes that are traveling now have a very difficult time. You know, we have our baseball players that are heading out, and they'll be gone Friday through Monday. And so that takes away, you know, some study time with all the travel and everything. And that creates probably the biggest dynamic is the travel. And especially when we have bad weather here in Maryville, they aren't able to play home weekends when they're actually scheduled to. I don't think the baseball team played at home until April last year. And so usually about Thursday they'd be saying, hey, we're traveling this week. We're going out of town. And so it created a pretty tough dynamic for them. So sometimes they'll miss 10 days of school at a stretch. And so I think, you know, our faculty are prepared to work with our students. You know, we have a great system on campus with a faculty athletic rep who kind of protects the interest of the athletes. But it really becomes their responsibility to manage that workload that they're missing out on.
Well, and a student athlete has to take on so much. Is it any different, or sometimes is there even more stress if you have a graduate assistant for one of these programs whenever they're expected to not only be at every practice, work with the students,
yeah.
do a lot of other things, but then come in and be in your class as well?
Yeah. And that is a big challenge for them. And I think that's part of where they get that, you know, the good look from the employers, because they've learned to balance all those things. But it does create a big challenge for them while they're in class.
Does the discipline of a sport translate into what you see work ethically? Even whenever you're out of season and you just have certain things come up to where they have to come in and talk with you or turning assignments in, and the way they go about it, do you seek some of that in their student athletes?
Yeah, they're very proactive for the most part. So they're interacting with us, making sure that they're getting ahead with assignments and being able to manage that priority in advance. So they typically aren't responding after the fact to things. So I think that ability to plan and be proactive is a real key. And I enjoy those interactions with the students. They, again, very respectful. And so that, again, translates well to that work environment. It's what the employers look for when they kind of look for somebody. They're looking for somebody with that work ethic, and they know that those students balance those priorities and do a really good job.
We're talking with Dr. Stephen Ludwig, the director of the Booth School of Business at Northwest Missouri State University. You got here in 2001, correct, to Northwest
yep.
Missouri State, and Ben McCollum's going through the program at that time?
Yeah, Ben was a transfer student, came in from, I believe, Fort Dodge, Iowa Central Community College, and was a finance major, so I never had him in class, but I got to see him interact with Dr. Al Kelly, one of our faculty members, and I'm sure that part of seeing him there was him balancing a priority of basketball schedules and traveling with that, and I think Coach McCollum's opportunities, you know, I think he played in
an Elite Eight team that went to Indianapolis, and he obviously did well in the classroom as well as excelling in basketball. And it's great to see him continue to have opportunities. Would have liked to have been able to say that he got an opportunity in the finance area where he prepared, but I'm sure he's balancing things well and does a great job with our student athletes.
Oh, very much. And the assistant coach for Northwest Missouri State men's basketball, Zach Schneider, and I would imagine you actually had him in class as an undergrad, correct?
He was in the School of Business. I never personally had him in a class, but got to interact with him quite a bit. Allison Hoffman was his advisor at the time he was going through school. And, Zach, like a lot of our young men who are basketball players, tend to be pretty quiet for the most part. And so Zach was a pretty quiet young man, but it's been neat to now get to see and interact with him as an assistant coach. I get opportunities. He brings prospective student athletes by, and get a chance to visit with him, and so I get a chance to catch up with Zach as part of that as well.
But and so we also have the benefit, John and I, to interview a lot of these student athletes. You get to know them over the years, especially the longer tenure they're in, and not just transfers, but they're always bringing in a good crop of kids, and you see that across the athletic department as a whole, but you're kind of right there too with the academic visits, right?
Yeah, we'd spend quite a bit of time. We probably had an opportunity to meet with about 30 of the young men that came in for the football team for recruits and prospects, and I get an opportunity to interact with on a regular basis guys from the basketball team, women's recruits, that opportunity for me is, I always view that as a winning proposition for me. I know we like to get the student athletes here, but I like getting the students here because they make great students to interact with in the classroom. And so that benefits us as a school of business as well to get them here. And we've seen, some really unique opportunities, and I always enjoy those opportunities, take advantage of those, because I always tell the coaches, this is a winning proposition for us. We get great students in the classroom, and if you guys get them on the teams as well, that's helpful to them.
The line of communications between professors like yourself and the director of the School of Business, but then also just the coaches, who's initiating a lot of that? Is it come down to just certain students seeing their grades? And I assume if things are okay, then you won't ever hear from them?
Yeah, we don't hear a lot from the coaches. It's really one of those situations where they demand quite a bit of the players and they have expectations. There are lots of resources on campus. It's really up to the student athletes to make faculty aware of their trips and the travel and those things. So it's a rare experience when we actually end up engaging with a coach. I remember different conversations over the years, and they're always very positive in terms of trying to make sure that the student athlete gets opportunities, but they're not asking for favors. They're trying to make sure that those students are succeeding in the classroom.
Whenever you think about Northwest Missouri State Athletics and its Division II sports, and I would like to think that just the athletic department as a whole, but do you think that's nationwide? Do you see that across the board? Is it just Division II that it's, we want them to come in and be good students and not just, you hear some bad stories about Division I athletes to where they're trying to get you to push through a certain grade, but is that a Division II thing, you think?
Yeah, I don't think that's a Division II thing. I really think the coaches stress how important it is for them to be students first, and, the athletics becomes, obviously an important part. I think what they do really well at Northwest is, there's a culture that it's kind of a team dynamic here, and, the guys are, if they don't do well in the classroom, they're letting their teammates down. It's not about themselves per se. And so I think that there's such a focus on that team dynamic that it translates to them being responsible for themselves and doing the best in the classroom, in addition to being, the best they can be in the athletics that they participate in.
When you look back over the last 19, 20 years that you've been at Northwest Missouri State, are there a couple student athletes that stand out in your mind as they go into their professional careers?
I think of a few of the students that I've interacted with that have had opportunities, and we have a really unique relationship with the Fed Reserve Bank in Kansas City. But young men like Sean Paddock, who excelled on the football field and had, you know, great opportunity to work with the Fed Reserve, and he's still there. Jordan Grove, another one of those young men that, you know, just a great student, a great role model for kids, and he got that same opportunity, and he's at the Federal Reserve Bank, and you know, that's an organization that comes looking for the student athletes because they understand how they balance those priorities. So, and there's been so many others. Shane Smith decided he was going to be an accounting major late, so he squeezed 10 classes that were upper-level accounting classes in his last three semesters on campus, finished up his last season with a national championship, and got an opportunity to intern with a firm and public accounting firm in Kansas City, passed the CPA exam, got a full-time job offer. And so there are just lots of students like that that have gone on and that have excelled. And, you know, I kind of, you know, take a lot of pride in them doing well, not because of anything I did, but just watching them grow and mature and get those opportunities to be great professionals when they finish up as well.
It's fun to see him go on. You mentioned a guy like Shane Paddock, so intimidating on the football field, but studious and quiet in class, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, he did his MBA program, and, you know, you're kind of going through those classes, and he was a graduate assistant in the School of Business, and so we benefited from, you know, his labors as a student and as, you know, an MBA student as well, and, you know, getting to watch him grow and mature, and, you know, now I kind of, you know, continue to keep up with him, and he actually works as an adjunct instructor at Rockhurst teaching in one of their master's programs. So, you know, he's now taking the things that he's learned at Northwest, and he's continuing to grow and develop and share those with other students. So,
well, that's great. And Dr. Ludwig, we appreciate coming on the Coach's Show with us and all the great work you do at Northwest.
Thank you, Matt. Enjoyed being here.
That's Dr. Stephen Ludwig, the director of the Booth School of Business at Northwest Missouri State University, joining us on the Bearcat Coaches Show. And that's going to wrap things up for us as we're going to shift gears here on KXCV, Maryville, KRNW, Chillicothe. You remember, we have basketball coming up tomorrow night. Northwest women taking on Missouri Southern at 5:30, the men at 7:30, with pregame starting up at 5 o'clock. So we'll turn into 90.5 and 88.9 for all that coverage. That's going to wrap things up for us here from Carson's. Behind the scenes, Logan Weber and Jacob Blair, as well as John Coffey on the show with me. I'm Matt Tritton saying so long from Carson's.